Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.
Hi, this is John J. York, Max Torpio from General Hospital, and you are listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stardish Radio. Today is February 17th, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. The number here is 347-945-5423. Oh, it's so hard when you don't dial it. Welcome. A couple of notes tomorrow night on Brandon's Buzz right here on Blog Talk Radio. The amazing Gloria Loring will be joining him, so make sure you tune in for that. It's going to be a guaranteed good time. That's at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Gloria Loring, mother to Grammy Award-winning songwriter and singer Robin Thicke. So make sure you tune in to that. Tonight, my guest. His performances exude the kind of alive, raw nerve, masculinity, and power that only a handful of actors have ever been able to conjure. After a hamstring injury prematurely ended his dream of becoming an Olympic track star, he carried his drive and his athletic ability to Hollywood, where he knocked around for years doing stunt work, bit parts, and episodics. In the Hercules fueled heyday of syndicated television, he nabbed a lead role on a weekly drama called Soldier of Fortune. But it's safe to say that he found his most arresting success on daytime TV, most notably as tenacious, unflappable Detective Marcus Taggart on General Hospital, where his scenes as Maurice Bernard's chief antagonist set the soap world ablaze. He does still do periodic guest shots on television and film, but he has dedicated himself these days to human fitness and wellness, and he is here tonight to discuss his latest mission, as well dish all about his well-remembered past. So I want everyone to please give a warm Stardish welcome to Mr. Rayal Andrews. Hang on one second. I'm sorry, my switchboard went down. You people are crashing me already. Are you kidding? Hang on. There we go. I got it back up. Just a second. Wow, you know, when you people, my listeners, really go for somebody, you go for them because you crash me at any given minute. Okay. Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Rayal. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're getting crashed, are we?
Oh, gosh. You know what? When I have a popular person or a popular topic, my switchboard often goes down like it just did and just blocked me out.
Well, I'll
before
take that
I
as
even
a compliment.
Get started.
Yeah, I'll take that as a compliment. I don't think I've ever crashed a switchboard before, so that's a good thing.
Well, there's always a first here, and everybody in the chat room is saying hi. So
hey,
we have Carissa from Florida, Diane from Florida, Michelle. I don't know, Michelle, where are you from? Type it in so I can see. And we have Brandon from Texas on the line. He's a very good friend of mine and colleague. He has a show also on Blog Talk Radio called Brandon's Buzz. Brandon, say hi.
Hey, Rial. Hey, Joanne. How y'all doing?
I'm doing great, Brandon. I'll have to come over there and buzz you on your show as well.
Absolutely. I would love that. You're welcome anytime.
Oh, right, wonderful. Brother. Yeah, Brandon's got a great show, and I was plugging his show earlier. He has Gloria Loring on tomorrow night, so he's got some good people on his show. But we've got this fabulous guy on the line, and you know what, Rayal, since we had our last conversation, I've been watching your videos, and I've been going through the Advocare sites and your testimonials, and I am just so utterly impressed. It's just like, I wish I would have saw it 2 months ago because I would have did that 24-day challenge.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm always doing a new challenge, Joanne, so it's never too late. But, you know, the recent one I'm doing, I've been doing with So I partnered up with a good buddy of mine, Katie Eagleson. She, you know, I'm always looking for something, a new way to give my champions something to focus on and accountability, because that's really what it's about. You know, just being creative and kind of, how do you say, masking the actual pain they're going through and kind of making it fun. And she does a thing called Skinny Jeans. It's one of my latest things. I teamed up with her, and I'm really, really excited about it. I actually, you know, I started talking with her, and I said, hey, Katie, you know, I mean, I see the value in this program. And I said, you know, I'd like to buy a bunch of different states and be like the Skinny Jeans Club president for the different states. So I went, and she agreed to let me have them, and we're working together. And I think we got, like I have New Jersey, New York, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Houston, where else are we, California. And so if anybody else wants to help us out with that. But it's pretty cool. It's an eight-week program. We just had our first couple weeks come in, and the average weight loss so far was about 12 pounds. And, you know, to me it's really exciting because, you know, one of my favorite things is I'd love to say, you know, I like to ask people, you know, what's their passion, what's their purpose, what's their victory, you know, in that order, and by the way, because to me they kind of work that way, because at the end of the road is your victory. So what is your victory? Well, you know, why do we do what we do? And I heard it somewhere, and I've kind of taken it to heart, and I like to say my victory is being mentioned in other people's testimonies, you know, and that's pretty powerful. That, you know what, that might have been a Zig Ziglar or a Jim Rohn thing. I'm not quite sure. Maybe somebody knows. But I kind of dig that.
Well, it's the testimonial itself is unbelievable.
Yeah,
no, it's never too late. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just that my listeners know my story behind it. I was diagnosed with cancer when I was 32, and I'm 39 now. I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it came back, and then I ended up having to go for a bone marrow transplant, which really put a very, very big toll on my body. And I've been fighting it since being in remission for 2 years now. I've been fighting off all of these side effects for the last 2 years because it generally just weighs me down. I gained a lot of weight. I have absolutely no energy. And they told me that I'll be suffering from side effects for the rest of my life, and there's just no way to tell what they are. So just recently, since I moved up to Buffalo, there's like a little gym here. I said, you know, I really just have to get out there and go do it. So I went and joined this little gym, you know, month-to-month thing, just in case. And I've been going every day faithfully, you know, walking, just the treadmill, and a little bit more cardio, no weightlifting or anything like that. But when I saw your videos, I was like, oh, my God, I wish I would have saw this. I definitely would have did this first. And, you know, you get all pumped up and stuff. So it's just very motivational piece that you got going on there on that website. And I put it in the chat room. So everybody in the chat room, go visit his website as well, and then you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
So that's what I was saying.
You're a champion for, you know, I mean, you know, I lost my brother to cancer, and, you know, that cancer, that's a tough one, and anybody who fights that. I remember when I was training towards doing the Ironman with my brother, you know, I made a deal with him. I said I'd cross the finish line, you know, if you fight this battle with cancer. And I used to carry a picture, his picture. I had it. I took his picture. I cut his picture, a little headshot, you know, like you get for, you know, like the wallet size one. And I put like plastic paper, like some plastic thing that was waterproof, kind of over it.
Laminating it.
Yeah, exactly. And I made this kind of wristband, and I wore that 24/7. I never took it off. And you know, when I was in the pool, most of the time, when I really drew on it a lot was when I was in the pool, because I hated the water, and I still do, and I used to have panic attacks and everything. But, you know, I made him a promise, and I, you know, with the Ironman, you have to get out of the water. If you don't get out of the water, you don't get to continue. So
right.
But I remember many, 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 many times, you know, I'd be, you know, when my hand would come in the water, and as I reached out my stroke, I would look down at my inside of my wrist, and I would see my brother looking back at me, and I would just suck it up because I said, you know, this is nothing compared to what he's going through every single day, and he can't turn it off. You know, you can go home and go to bed and say, oh, I'm done with that workout or whatever, or whatever. So that was really pivotal for me, and I realized the battle that you go through. So my hat goes off to anybody who's battling with cancer or any of those things. So you're all champions in my eyes. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I want to touch a little bit, because I know we have some callers, and I know Brandon's got some questions too, but just tell everybody a little bit about the Advocare site that you have going on and the products.
Yeah, well, thank you. The Advocare is it's world-class nutrition, okay? And I've been doing this 28 years, personal training. My dad's been doing it 55 years. He's my greatest inspiration. And, you know, I never, ever endorsed a product till three. As a matter of fact, about 3 years ago when Advocare, I like to say Advocare found me, I was kind of anti-supplements. But I was kind of ignorant in that sense as a trainer. And, you know, a lot of us, see, I'm very, very disciplined and stuff like that. So it's easy for me to say, well, I know how to eat good and I know how to eat well and all those things. But, you know, the majority of us don't. And we need help and we need stuff that's easy. But, you know, also being more educated now, I also know that it's almost pretty much impossible unless you live in a farm in Ohio and grow all your food and have your own cows that aren't, you know, poisoned with kind of stuff to get the nutrition you need. So I was pretty impressed with this company, and I started using the products, and they're amazing. They've become a very pivotal part of what I do. And as a matter of fact, I believe in them so much that I won't even train anybody without Advocare being part of the program. And it's just good stuff. You know, we've got over 53% of our USA Olympic athletes choose to use them. You know, I help like people like Wes Welker and stuff like that, world-class athletes. So it's just really good stuff. And what I really love about it, Joanne, is in Advocare, you know, it deals with the two biggest things that we deal with in America right now. We deal with health issues, and we can help people with that. And then because we can help people with that and we can get amazing results, we can help people if they so desire to help with the other thing that we deal with, which is, you know, debt and, you know, finances and stuff like that. So, you know, I've been able to, through Advocare, you know, help enough people to have what they want. You can have everything that you want, another Zig Ziglar thing. I might throw a lot of quotes at you, but I'm kind of a quote guy. You know, that's really what it's about. It's about making a difference and giving back. So, you know, it saved my life. It's changed my life in many ways, so I'm very passionate about it. It's an awesome company, and I'm proud to be a part of it. And, you know, if anybody wants to know more about it, they can always go to my blog, which is railandrews.com, and you know, send me an email. I'll be happy to, you know, just share with them and that. So, but
well,
I'm not really here to, you know, talk about my opportunity, but I appreciate the plug. But I'm here.
Oh, anytime. I mean, look, this is your forum, buddy. This is about you. So we'll talk about what you want to talk about. I mean, I was just really touched by it, and I have the link in the chat room, so anyone can go to it, and definitely you can find Rael on Facebook and especially Twitter. He's a Twitter guy.
I'm a Twitter freak. I'm a Twitter freak.
He is.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people that know me, I got to tell you, man, I'm addicted to that Twitter, man. I got it on my Apple iPhone now, and I'm training my champions in the gym, and I'm constantly taking pictures. And I go, oh, there I go. I just sent you out into Twitterville, and stuff like that. And they're like, you are a freak, dude. So, I mean, I love Twitter, and any of you on the call, if you're not like following me on Twitter, please follow me on Twitter, and I will follow you back because I'm about to let people know, because I love to stay in contact with people. I really, really do. I mean, I'm a relationship freak, and I'll share a funny story with you. You want a funny dish story?
Go ahead.
I'll never forget the first, it was New Jersey, actually. I did an autograph. It was Long Island. I'm sorry. I don't know, Long Island, yeah. I did an autograph signing with Maurice and Steve Burton. And it was kind of, you know, my first one that I ever did, so I wasn't really kind of used to the, I don't know, protocol or whatever. But I'm one of those guys who I'll stay there till the last guy or girl or kid or whatever leaves. I mean, you know, I'm a big advocate. I love the fans because I feel we wouldn't be anything without them. And so I'll stay there to sign the last autograph. And so when we go to this thing, you know, they're giving me the rundown. They say, well, here's what we're going to do. You know, it's a two-hour event, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to answer questions, and we'll answer questions at the middle of the room and then at the side of the room. If any of you have been at these things, you know how they probably go. And he said, and then, you know, we'll take a few pictures and sign some autographs, and then we're going to go out to the car, and they'll put you in the car, and we go. And I'm going, yeah, but what if there's still some people who want to get autographs or something? He's like, well, that's not how it works. It goes, we go, and when our time's up, we're done. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, no, that's not really how it's going to go for me. I'm thinking about that kind of thing like this, but I'm trying to also, like, respect my boys and stuff, but I'm thinking, I'm not going to be good with that. So anyways, we do our thing, and the show was over. And sure enough, I mean, John, they were like, you know, they had these bouncers and everything there, and they were ushering us out to the car. And, of course, I stopped to sign some autographs. And, oh, my gosh, I almost caused a riot. It was like, oh, my, they're crazy in Long Island.
Oh,
it was like,
yeah.
Oh, my. We couldn't hardly get out to the car, and then we're, like, getting out to the car, and Maurice and Steve are just pissed, and we're getting in the car, and we couldn't get in, and then this weird, they finally squeeze us into the car. The driver's side window, I'll never forget this, the driver's side window was half open, and this one young lady was trying to crawl through the front window, and they were trying to push her back out, and there were people on the hood and on the back of the car, and I was, like, laughing. I was going, what is going on? And Maurice and Steve were going, dude, we told you, man, we told you. I was going, this is crazy. And we're driving down the freeway, and there's people, like, following us down the freeway and hanging out in the car, and I was going, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you know what?
I was like,
General Hospital fans are the biggest freaky people on the planet when it comes to fans, especially when it comes to Maurice and Steve.
Oh, my gosh. You're not kidding. Yeah. And you know what? We love them for it. I got to tell you, what's it been since I've been on General Hospital? It's been, what, 4 years, 5 years?
4 years, something like that.
4 years. And do you know, 4 years. And there isn't a day that I go out and I don't get recognized.
I believe it.
Several times a day. And here's the funny thing, I mean, because I know what you're saying, because when I did As the World Turns, I was on As the World Turns. I don't even know how long I was on the show. I think I was on for a whole year. I'm not sure. But, you know, I was on the show for, I don't know, I can't remember, but let's say it was a year or whatever. I don't think anybody ever recognized me. Ever.
Right.
Ever. From
it's
that show.
True, though. It's true.
It's unbelievable.
The thing is, I mean, and it's not just General Hospital. ABC, because they do so much for their fans as far as events and stuff like that, the ABC actors are so much more recognizable than you'll find on CBS or NBC, other than people on Days of Our Lives, for that, you know, the more popular characters. But General Hospital especially. Maurice and Steve, you know, they were doing this thing in Florida, Super Soap Weekend. Steve Burton wouldn't do Super Soap Weekend anymore because he got attacked. These girls literally broke down the barricade for his autograph signing, and they started ripping off his clothes.
No, sir. When was that?
Oh, yeah. This
was
that? 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, I didn't even hear that one.
He was walking with the Disney people, and, yeah, they started ripping off his shirt. They refused to do those kind of things. So that's why, you know, when Steve and Maurice do the – Maurice doesn't even fly out anywhere off the West Coast anymore.
No, because he doesn't like to fly, you know. He
right. So he stays on his own side of the pond there. But Steve will go and do autograph signings, but they're very structured. You know, they don't go off the schedule at all, because if you give them an inch, forget about it, they'll go nuts. And he, I think, is probably a little more freaked out by it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll tell you another funny story about Disneyland. It's funny. I got another funny. Me and Maurice, we went down to Disneyland for fun, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we got up one morning, and we went to go out, and we had this escort that was going to show us around, which, by the way, is the only way to go to Disneyland, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
there's no way I'm standing in those 10-hour lineups, okay? And,
oh, yeah.
They don't even care if you're on General Hospital when you get taken right to the front of the line. They're not too happy about that.
Yeah.
Okay? But we walked out of our hotel, and we made it about 100 feet, and we were just getting mobbed. It was, like, crazy. So we had to go back into the hotel, and I wouldn't even recognize myself, okay? I had a big hat on and this jacket and sunglasses, and if I saw myself in the mirror, I would not have known who I was. And we thought, oh, okay, well, this is good. Nobody's going to know who we are. And even under those disguises,
mm-hmm.
people picked us up. It was the most bizarre thing I have ever seen.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. I love the fans because, you know, it's like, who is that? What was his, that big guy? I love that one song. I think it was a one-hit song. What was his name? Big Chubby or something, or Big Chubby Checker or something. And he said that he sang that song about the fans, you're nothing without. You know that song I'm talking about?
No.
He was a big guy, dude. He was about 400 pounds. I think he only had one hit. Maybe somebody out there knows what it is.
Heavy D? Was it a rap song?
It was a rap song, and he was singing about the fans, about how you have to...
Oh, I don't know. Brandon, you're going to have to research that one. Brandon's the music guy. He can find any kind of song anywhere.
Wow.
You'll have to find that one for me, Brandon.
Okay, it's not ringing a bell right now, but I'll work on it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. The only big 400-pound guy I can think of from back then is Heavy D.
Yeah, and maybe it was, but... I tell you, my first day on General Hospital was awesome because I was a General Hospital freak myself. I still am.
Oh.
And, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember Laura's wedding and all those things and staying home from school and skipping and watching all those shows. I was a freak. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, my first acting job, I get the job on General Hospital. And I was like, oh, my. And I'll never forget my first day walking in the studio, and then the very first person I saw was Alan Quartermain. I was like, oh, my God, it's him.
Oh, my God, Stuart, did you call him,
like,
Alan Quartermain?
And then I'm walking down the hall, and there comes Laura. I was like, oh, it's Laura, I'm thinking. I'm thinking, be cool, dude. You're supposed to be like an actor, okay? This is, you're not supposed to be like, just relax, I'm thinking, dude. You know, and I'm meeting all these people that I'm, like, watching. And then I'll tell you, this is a moment I will never forget, ever, as long as I live. You know, everybody was so amazing to me on my first day. And, you know, when I started with General Hospital, you know, I was only playing an under five or something. I only had three lines. My original part was something like, I think it was... I'm Detective Taggart with the PCPD. I think that was my very first line. I think I might have had one thing before that, but that was my very, and I remember, oh, my God, I was so nervous. I was just saying that one line, I'm Detective Taggart. I couldn't, and when I was practicing, I could not get that PCPD out. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to mess this up. I am going to mess this up. I got one freaking line to say, and I can't even say the PCPD. And I kept going PDBC and PBR. And I was, like, freaking out, and I was sweating and the whole deal. I'll never forget that. But prior to that, you know, everybody was, hey, welcome. They were great. I mean, you know, I had three lines, and they were just so cool to me and everything. And here comes Maurice. Now, I didn't really know who Sonny was at that time because he was kind of a new character on the show. But mm-hmm. here comes this guy, because my scene was with him. And here comes this guy, and everybody was walking up to me going, hey, welcome, you know, you'll be great, you'll have fun, whatever, shaking my hand, whatever. And then here comes this guy walking down the hall right outside the makeup room, and I extend my hand to shake his hand. And he, like, brushes my hand right away and goes right straight to a hug.
Aww.
And he just hugs me and he goes, hey, man, I'm looking forward to working with you, man. just like that. And it was like instant bond. And then we went up and we did that scene, and Elizabeth, one of the writers, I believe she's a producer now, I guess we did that scene, and I guess, you know, it's one of those chemistry things. In the booth, they just went, oh, my God, nobody has ever stood up to Maurice like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever had that chemistry. And then they called my agent, and the rest was history, and that three lines turned into a contract role. And,
wow.
You know, we just, the rest is history, and that's kind of how it happened. And Maurice, by the way, I know a lot of you know that I just came out of the bipolar closet. I always have to say bi, because I said I came out of the closet, and my agent was like, dude, you better preface that with the bipolar closet, because if you come out saying I came out of the closet, it could go down a whole nother road. So I'm like, hey, whatever, it's all good, you know. But yes, it was the bipolar closet that I came out of, and once again, Maurice, I mean, obviously this is something you deal with all your life, and it gets worse every year, but Maurice was, and very early on, I think it was in the first week or two, he came right up to me, this guy that I didn't even know really yet, said, dude, you're bipolar. And I was like, dude, I didn't even know what that was back then. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about, dude?
Mm-hmm.
And for years after that, he always used to go, dude, when are you going to go see somebody, man? When are you going to, you need to be on medication. You need to do this. So I go, dude, what are you talking about? I would say to him, and he was like, dude, I know, dude, I see it. I see the traits. And I guess for years and years I was in denial, and like I said, I mean, I just recently came out, you know, the day before my birthday, and finally admitted, you know, my wife been bugging me for a while. You know, I kind of admitted that I had a depression problem recently, but, you know, for me, this is kind of funny, but not, but it really, when I finally, for the first time, admitted that I had a depression problem, was I was going through one of my modes, and, you know, it started where, you know, I'd go through 3 or 4 days where I just didn't feel, because people who know me, I'm kind of a freak, I'm kind of crazy, going all the time, and it's usually in the winter time, and then I remember when many years ago, it was like 3 or 4 days, I just didn't feel like doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year it was 6 days, and then the next year it was like a week. And then the next year was like a week and a half. And it continually got longer and longer, you know, every year. But I just figured that was kind of my thing. I went through it. And then one year, it wasn't going away.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, you know, getting over it. And I was sitting there lying on a couch. And you know that Zoloft commercial with that round little ball?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? That animated
yep.
ball. I was lying on the couch. I'd been lying on that couch for about 4 weeks. And I was watching TV, and this commercial comes on. And it's that little Zoloft ball. And he goes, do you do this? And do you do that? And do you suffer from this? And I'm sitting there watching this, and I go, wait a second. I do that. Hey, I do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second. I do. And that was my first epiphany. And then, you know, I went through the whole different things, and I did some medication and stuff, and I wasn't a big fan of the medication, and I to this day, and you know, I want to preface this in case there's people listening, because I'm certainly not a doctor, and I'm certainly not recommending people don't take medication if they're supposed to, but it's a choice that I make. It's my life. I decide not to do it. It's
mm-hmm.
a very hard battle. But I think the mindset that was driven into me through my parents certainly prepared me for what I'm going through now and that I do go through. But I did it, Joanne. I did it a couple years ago. And, you know, I know it's a process and you got to test to get the right one and all that stuff. But for me, the first time I did it, it was not the right one, and it was not a mm-hmm. fun experience, and I was not fired up about trying another one. And,
right.
you know, one of my best buddies at the time said, dude, if being on medication, and I'll never forget this, I think it's a big part of what I think about, he said, dude, if being on medication means it's going to make you better, I'd rather see you crazy and depressed, because that is a zombie standing in front of me right now. And I'd rather see the crazy wild Real all the down anytime. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, well, I don't want to be a zombie. So that's kind
right.
of, you know, that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely with depression, it definitely is the meds, and it definitely is a dosage thing. I mean, when I was going through my chemotherapy treatments, I went through it myself, and they practiced all kinds. I was the biggest guinea pig in Holy Cross Hospital in Fort Lauderdale. So, I mean, I know, you know, and it's all about self-control, and I haven't been taking medication in, oh, gosh, 2 years now. I just couldn't do it anymore because it just was not, I like you said, I would rather be the other way than being stuck on a couch. You know, I mean, I'm a single mom with two kids. I can't be bothered with not having control.
Yeah.
Or being in that state.
And once again, we preface people out there, you know, please, we are not doctors. We're not telling you what to do, but it is our life and we choose to do. And
this is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go see your doctors, because we sure ain't them. This ain't GH. I ain't no Quartermain. But I know what I do have. I do have some fans on the phone for you. Are you ready to take some calls, darling?
You bet, honey. I love taking calls.
All right, let's take some calls. We're going to go to this one. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, say hi to Rayel. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Rayel. This is Carla Wilson. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, Carla. Yay.
Hey, how are you?
Great, honey. Hey, you know what? I'm looking. Mm-hmm. It's funny because you know I got my Twitter right in front of me. Okay, I got my tweet deck. I got my yeah. Come on, girl. I got my tweet deck up right here, and I'm looking, and there's Carla Wilson looking right at me right now, just asking me. Question about BlackBerry. How you doing, girl?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm excited to be talking to you because I love to, you know, this is the first time I'm hearing your voice. So what's going on? What questions you got on your mind?
Nothing much. I just wanted to say thank you for being who you are and for just being a people person. You know, I don't know for sure, but I'm just not used to stars per se, actors being that much of a people person with their fans. So I just want to say thank you for being who you are.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I know we have a title on it, but you know what? Personally, mm-hmm. I mean, we all evolve and grow. And, you know, like even in my company per se, where, you know, we all have different opportunities out there. And, you know, it's called recruiting and sponsoring and all that. And, but I kind of started to call it, you know, in my company, I'm known to be the number one recruiter, but I don't even like that name anymore. I'd rather be called the number one relationship builder, because I believe that's what it's about. And, you know, it's about building relationships with the people that, whether you're on a TV show or in a business or, you know, in an opportunity or what, because it's about, you know, I was listening to John Maxwell the other day, Carla. And I love it. He was talking about the 21 laws of leadership, and I think it was law number 19 or something. He said, it's the law of the heart. And he said, great leaders lead with the heart. He said, they lead with the heart first, because they get to know your heart and let you know their heart, because then when you bond in the heart, you can go anywhere and do anything. So I appreciate you, girl.
I appreciate you, too, and you got me, like, really crazy on Twitter now.
Isn't it fun, girl? I swear to God. I'm going to get, like, some kind of Twitter rehab or something, man, where we can all go together to get fit.
I was not even trying to get that addicted to Twitter until I started conversating with you on Facebook. And I'm like, okay, let me just check it out. And I got on there, and I sent you the a little FYI earlier about, because I don't know if you remember, I had sent a while back, I was having a problem getting on Twitter through my BlackBerry. I'm like, well, what's the problem? Why can't I get on here? And I look on Facebook, and there's an application for Twitter, and someone mentioned on there Twitterberry. It's Twitter for BlackBerry. I'm like, okay, well, let me figure out how to get this. So I do a Google earlier this afternoon, And I found the application, and I downloaded it, and it works perfectly. So,
hey, listen, girl, Google is the key, girl. If you need anything, just go to Google. But seriously, I know there's other people and stuff. But listen, I gotta tell you something. You know what I love about Twitter? It's quick. I love it. I mean, you can be talking. It's quick. I mean, Peggy, my girl, she just came up on Twitter. It's like I'm loving it because I'm talking to you on the phone right now. Peggy's on this conversation right now too. She's out there right now, but her face just came up. I love her face. She's smiling and happy. All right, Carla, you take care. So make sure you keep stalking me on Twitter. All right.
I will do so. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye, Carla. That's
okay,
so
thank
cool.
you.
You're welcome. That is really cool. And everybody's like, what is Twitter? Everybody's in the chat room. What is Twitter? You know what? You should really, like, build, not a rehab page for Twitter, but a how-to-use Twitter page. Because the first time I went on Twitter, I had absolutely no idea. Bob Guinea is a big Twitter guy. He just got into it. And his webmaster, Barb, is the one who informed me about it, and I went on it, and I was like, I can't figure out this stupid thing. I can't be bothered because all their pages were down, and this, you know, it was just, like, way too much for me to process. But ever since you and I spoke, it's like, okay, I'm in there now. So now I kind of know what I'm doing, so you should definitely do, like, a how-to page.
Okay, well, I will. I'll tell you what, everybody on the phone, on the call, so you don't know about Twitter, here's what you write this down. I'm sure Joanne can send you a link. You go to twitter.com/ Rael Andrews, which is my name, R-E-A-L Andrews. And then if you say, hey, I want to follow, you'll say follow. There will be a button there, follow. And then it's going to ask you to just set up an account. It takes 2 seconds, and it's free. And when you follow me, you'll get a message from me and saying, you know, thanks for following me or whatever, or send me a message and just say you're on the call with Joanne or something. And what I'll do, because I got a cool little function here, Joanne, I'm going to create a group. I'm going to create a Joanne group, and I'll put you all in a group. And then when I figure out some kind of thing to do, and we'll start communicating as a group, and I'll teach you all how to use Twitter, and we'll blow this Twitter up.
There you go. Look at that. Joanne's going to get a group. Woo!
We'll have our own Twitter group. We'll call it, let me see, what will we call it? We'll call it the Real Twitter Warriors. That's it, the Real Twitter Warriors.
Oh, God, you got to love you. Got to love you. Got to love you for being you. Let's take another one of your fans. We're going area code 903. You're on the phone with Rael. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, I think I just hung up on them. Sorry, call back. Oh. Area code 410.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. My name is Susan. I just got on Facebook with Rael today. And I've noticed he does the law of attraction. I've really gotten into that lately. And I watched the one video you had on there, and I was really interested. You need to put more of them on there.
All right, Chan. Well, listen, you know, let's touch on Susan. I remember I just was sent you a message. Now, it's Susan,
Gordon.
Susan Gordon?
Yes. Yeah,
see? I pay attention, don't I? I know what
yes, you
on.
Do.
Hey, no, Susan, I wanted to ask something about that because, and I'd be curious to get a sense of y'all, because one of the things, so do you think when I'm leaving the messages on there, Susan, what do you think, once a week, 3 times a week, every day, whenever? Because sometimes I think, oh, man, if I keep leaving messages on there, that's like too much, and they're going to get, you know what I mean? I mean, what do you think you'd like to see on there?
Maybe once a week, like a motivational talk.
Okay.
Just something like that to get us going. I mean, lately I've been in a rut, you know, not working right now. I'm on disablement. I fell and broke my collarbone. So that got me down a little bit, but I'm getting back on it again.
No,
I'm going back to work soon, so.
So, Susan, what kind of work did you used to do?
I still do. I work for Frito-Lay.
Oh, Frito-Lay?
Yeah,
Frito-Lay
I deliver chips. Yeah,
hey,
Frito-Lay chips.
Don't tell anybody, all right, because I'm into health and wellness, okay?
Yes,
I know. I help
well, we have big chips.
But one of my favorite chips is the Frito-Lay corn chip. But don't tell nobody, okay?
Okay.
My son's father works for Frito-Lay, too.
Who's that?
My son's father works for Frito-Lay, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a driver in Yonkers, New York. He's been with them, I think, 10, 11 years, something like that.
Hmm.
Hey, Susan, so 410, that's Maryland, right?
Yes, Baltimore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore. Well, you know what? I got some champions on my nutritional team, you know, that are down there. I got my girl Peggy. She's on the call. I know she's actually in Pennsylvania, but she's got a champion, Angie, who's over there in Baltimore, Maryland. And so I'll actually be spending some time down there. So we got to keep in touch. I know I'll be coming down there to do a show in a while and stuff like that. So I'm just curious, Susan, what does law of attraction mean to you?
More or less treating everybody the way you wanted to be treated and just putting the positive energy on it and not going with the negative every day. I find if I use the positive energy, I get the positive back. You get send out the negative energy, you get the negative back. It really does work. I mean, you can tell a big difference in your attitude. If your attitude's bad, you're going to go out and have a bad day, you know. I always tell people, always listen to, like, your favorite song on the way to work in the morning. That'll get you in the mood, and that'll set your day for the rest of the day, as long as you can keep it.
You know, you said something, a very interesting point there, Susan. I just heard something the other day, and I'm always listening to it, so I'm not sure, but it's either John Maxwell, Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, or Zig Ziglar, or Charlie Regis said this, but it's, you know what, they were talking about the law of attraction, and because I'm about to say look in the mirror, I have a feeling it might have been Charlie Regis. As a matter of fact, it was Charlie Regis, who is the founder of Avacare, and he was saying, and this is exactly what you were just talking about, he was saying in the terms of law of attraction, if you're not attracting the people that you'd like to be attracting, it'll probably scare you and freak you out why you're not attracting the people you're attracting. And I was listening to this, and he said, if you're not attracting the people that you want to be attracting, because you need to look in the mirror, because the people you are attracting is a mirror image of yourself.
I know exactly what you mean.
Heavy.
Exactly.
That's pretty heavy. So if you're like one of these people who say, man, my life sucks, man. All I ever do is just, you know, I'm just surrounded by negative people all the time, and that's all I bring into my life. And, you know, I can't get a break and everything like that. Well,
you're not going to get a break.
Maybe we should take a look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like what you emulate. You know, what you emulate is what you attract, because people are attracted to likeness. You know what I mean? You know, negative people aren't going to be attracted to a positive person.
Right. And I think a lot of times people don't really know what they want unless you put your mind to exactly what you want. You're not going to get it. So if you sit there and say, I never get what I want, well, you probably don't even know what
is. Not probably. You're never going to get what you want.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, like last year, I've always wanted to go to California, and you know, I set my mind to it, and I went there twice in 1 year, and one time, the second time was for the General Hospital fan club event, which I've always wanted to go to, but, you know, I set my mind to it, that was my sole purpose, and, you know, I did it, and I loved it. I love California.
Yeah,
much better than
Baltimore. Well, you know, I was just recently in California, and, you know, my wife has been bugging me forever to go back to California because she's, you know, my wife's very supportive of me, and we got this job, and, you know, we moved out here, and you know, she's kind of been there on the sidelines dropping hints all the way along the line, but I'm the kind of person that I'm very in the moment. I make a decision, and I just do it. I'm a jumper. I'm not a stepper. I don't put my feet in and test the water. I will just make a decision and go. And the last time I was in California about 2 weeks ago, I went out there to work with some new champions on my nutritional network. And I just had that thing. I said, I'm done. That's it. we're going to California. And I called my wife, and she said, it's about freaking time. And
she attracted herself to California, did she?
Yeah, I said, let's put it in writing. And,
you know,
so we'll be there by the summer. We put it in writing, I think, to actually officially be there by August or whatever. But, you know, when I decide to do something, when I put it in writing, it's a done deal. And it's that's just the way I roll. So those of you in California can expect me to be there. I will be
well,
there.
Well, if you're there in July, stop by the fan club thing, and I'll be there.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was nice talking to you.
You too, Susan. Let's keep in touch, okay?
Yeah, keep in touch.
Are you on Twitter?
I am not. I never even heard of it until you said it.
Twitter.com.
I'll try it.
Bill Andrews, you better show up while I'm watching this show. I'm watching you, girl. I got my
okay,
tweet deck up right
now. Okay, my computer's working
really
slow. Okay.
I got my tweet deck up right now so I can see what's going on. All right,
okay.
Nice talking to
you. All right. Bye.
Perfect. You should go work for Twitter.
I just, you know what? Here it is, Joanne. When I am a gut person, okay? When I see something that I like, I don't question it. And when I like something, man, I am passionate as hell about it. I come full of, you know, I mean, part of how I found Twitter and everything, you know, I was looking for a system to take my my opportunity to the next level, to get in front of more people, to recruit more people and stuff. And I just, I mean, if you can believe this, 4 weeks ago I was the most unliterate, or whatever you call it, computer person you've ever met. And I just found myself on this thing called the Internet, and I just started looking. And then I found this one guy, and I started listening to him. And he was talking about this system, and you know what, it was made sense to me, and I was like, okay, I like this, boom. And I jumped into that, and it led me to this, and it led me to Twitter, and it's taken my business to the whole next level, and it's allowed me to meet all these new friends. But that's just how I am, man. I mean, when I like, and on the reverse side, if I don't like something, you'll know about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what, that's not really true. I'm not really a negative person. Actually, I'm not a negative person at all. But you know when I like something, because when
right.
I like something, I'm very, very positive about it. You, if you know me, you'll know when I don't like something, because I just don't talk about it at all. But I'm not one to. I do not believe in being negative. I do not. I hate negativity. I hate naysayers. I hate dream stealers. Even if I don't like something, or I think what you're doing is totally crazy and asinine and stupid, I'll find something positive about it to lift you up. You know.
Well, there's no better way, I guess, to go through life. I mean, if more people were like that, I think we'd have a much more peaceful existence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's just too much. It's just there's too many. There's always a positive in everything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's always a positive in everything. All right, bring me somebody else. Who's my next
I
warrior?
Well, let's see. Brandon, you wanted to ask Raynell a question.
Yeah, you know, I have a ton of questions for you, so I'm going to have you on my show. But I was wondering if you have any regrets about the way things turned out at As the World Turns, because, you know, you kind of went there in a high-profile role, and it just kind of fizzled out. We see that on soaps all the time, but you know, you're such a dynamic, such a forceful actor that you would think that you would flourish anywhere you go. And I'm just wondering if you have any regrets about the way it kind of worked out.
You know, Brandon, that's an awesome question. I don't have any regrets about... I don't have regrets about many things. I have regrets about doing drugs in my life, but I've turned that into a positive. And I go speak to kids at schools and hope that I can... not only stop many, or one, but many kids from making the same mistake I did. That's probably maybe one of the, you know, and I've had regrets for some stupid things I've done or way I've treated people in my life. But in terms of the As the World Turns, here's how I look at those kind of things, Brandon. I look at it like this, okay? Have you ever seen, I'm very much a sports freak, okay? So have you ever seen, do you follow sports at all, Brandon?
I love football.
A football, great. Okay, yeah. That's what I love. I'm a football freak.
Me too.
So if you follow football, you know what I'm talking about, okay? There's been players that have come out, you know, they've been like Heisman Trophy winners. They've been,
absolutely,
you know, first draft, okay? I mean, these guys are, you know, these guys can play. And they get put on a team, and nothing happens. They don't perform, and all of a sudden, you know, the fans are down on them, or you know everybody's booing them, and they're, you know, and then they get traded, and they get traded to this team, and they still suck, and you know, everything, and then maybe they get traded over to that team, and maybe they still suck, and then they get traded over to another team, and oh my gosh, this guy is the best thing we've seen since, like, look at him go. Oh, my God, you can't stop this guy. Is it a different player? No.
Yeah.
It's the same player.
Yeah.
He just found the right team.
Yeah.
It's about finding the right team. It's about, you know, there's so many things that got to come together. You know, I mean, it just wasn't the right time, the right place. It wasn't the right fit. It wasn't the right character. It wasn't the right role. I don't know. But I just know that, you know, I don't regret it, dude. It was a great experience. I made some great friends. I had some learning things, you know. I got to get to New York. I got to freeze my butt off in the cold for 4 or 5 years. So, you know, no. You know, it just, you know, and I stopped doing that a long time ago. I don't know what that was, but I just stopped doing that a long time ago. I'm like, even in my acting world, Brandon, now, I mean, there was a time when I was in this mindset that a lot of actors have where, well, let me read the script and see if it's right for me. Let me see if it's the right vehicle for me. Vehicle. Let me try to sound Southern. I love the way Southern say vehicle. You know, but, you know, outside of doing, you know, an X-rated film or anything, of course, I'm in the mindset now where if my agent calls me, and my wife will tell you this is true, if my agent calls me and he gives me an audition, even if I think it's stupid or I don't want to do it, very, 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 very seldomly will I ever turn anything down. Because I'm in the mindset now that God knows what's good for me. If I try to decide what's good for me, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to make a mistake. So if something's put on my lap, I'm going to go after it like it as if it was something I thought was an Academy Award winning opportunity. I'm going to go after it no less, no more. I'm going to give it 150%. And when I finish my audition and I walk out the door or whatever, I know I gave it my 150% best. And it's in God's hands now. If that's where he wants to place me next, if that's the next part of my puzzle or the next part of my path, that's where I'll go. So, no, I don't regret anything, brother.
Excellent. That's a really good mindset to have. And I think a lot of people could learn from that, especially a lot of people in your business.
Yeah, well, thanks, brother.
This is true. I'll say, even on my show, I don't turn any guests away. I don't care if I don't know nothing about them. I'll take anybody because I'm always willing to learn. And we'll see
and
what happens
what about,
from there.
Right? We learn from each other. That's really
exactly.
What it's about. If you look at, if people would take more time to do two things, to share value,
mm-hmm.
and to learn, rather
mm-hmm.
than to come at a point where it's, I mean, come on, think about it. I mean, I was just talking with this about to one of my champions today at the gym. And you all know what I'm talking about. I recently took out an ad in a magazine, in a newspaper, for the Skinny mm-hmm. Jeans Club thing that I'm doing, okay?
Okay.
And they didn't get me to approve. And anybody who does advertising, I know you do, Joanne, and I know you
mm-hmm.
do, Brandon. I mean, dude, that's etiquette. That's basic. That's what you do, okay? You don't produce an ad without getting the approval in writing from the client. Well,
absolutely.
They went ahead and produced this ad, and it was wrong. And then I, of course, was irate, and I called him back, and I was like, dude, this is... And he was, like, treating me like I'm like... And I was like, dude, I'm the customer, and I am right, even if I'm wrong. And he's like, well, you're not right in this instance. First and foremost,
oh my God.
He was totally... First and foremost, he was totally wrong. But secondly, that's the problem with America now, because the customer isn't right anymore. People don't... You know, it's like people don't care anymore about helping others. They just care about me, 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 me. It's not about me, 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 me. It's about it's not about me, 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 or I. It's about you, you, you. It's about helping others. It's crazy to me.
Well, no, that's the way it is, unfortunately. But I have some people that want to make it all about you, so I'm going to take another caller.
Okay.
We have another area code 203. Who is this? 203? You're there. I can hear you.
It's probably my wife, I bet you.
Oh, maybe she's listening and she don't want to talk.
I think it might be my wife. She's probably like, she's pretending that she don't
want to talk. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to put her back on hold then. I don't want to embarrass her. We'll go to this caller here. This is Tony from Chicago.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Rayal. What's going on, man?
It's all good, brother. How's the weather in Chicago right now?
It's okay for now, but we're expecting rain later on tonight and a mix later on, and it's going to be colder by the end of the week, you know. But it's cool right now.
All right, yeah, we're going to get that tomorrow night, too.
Okay. Well, listen, I wanted to say you're doing a great job promoting health and wellness and getting the positive message out there for everybody. Say, hey, listen, we can reach for our dreams if we want to, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Man. I believe in that with all my heart, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. Hey, you were mentioned about your acting career earlier, you know, being on General Hospital and also on Master of Turns, but there's also a show I remember you from way back in the early 90s called Soldier to Fortune.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I loved that show. I loved that show. Yes. What, you got some questions about that?
Well, exactly. But I just want to touch on, you got a chance to work with one actress in particular that I love. Her name is Melinda Clark. You ever heard of her?
Oh, you like Melinda Clark, huh? Yeah, Melinda Clark, she's a little bit of a firefox, that one, dude. I don't know if you can handle her.
I remember from her days on Days of Lies and Faith, on Days of Lies, and of course he was most recently on the OC playing Julie Cooper. Yeah, I remember her from lots of shows, and
yeah,
I remember you doing the show. Did you have fun working with her?
Oh my gosh, Melinda was a champion, and she still is. Is she moved on from OC? Is she on another show now? Or
yeah, she's pretty much the OC pretty much ended.
Okay.
And she's been on guest starring many roles. She was on CSI doing that Matrix, that Dominatrix thing again. And most recently,
yep,
she was on,
yep,
Eli Stone. Most recently.
Yeah. No, she, you know, she's a brilliant actress. She's very talented. I was at her wedding. She got married while we were doing Soldiers of Fortune. She was just, you know, she was like one of the boys. A lot of fun. And always bringing her game. And, you know, I mean, I got nothing but the highest of praise. You know, back in the days, we used to get a little crazy, too. And that girl can, let me tell you something, man. She can hold her own. Let me just put it to you that way.
Put it on the screen. That's what they do, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I better let you go, because I know Joanne's about to wrap up, right?
I have some more people.
I'll stay here until I answer all the questions. Hey, buddy, you better get on my Twitter, buddy. If you're not on Twitter, are you on Twitter?
I'm registered with Twitter right now, but I'm not on Twitter right now. But
well,
make sure you're
following me on there. I'm going to make sure everybody's on Twitter by the time I'm finished.
Okay, I'll go there tomorrow, y'all, and put you in there and put you in my list on Facebook as well, because I'm on that too.
All right, buddy, I appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
I got to
run,
guys. Have a good night now.
All right, bye.
That's so funny. As far as the acting career goes, you just went out and did some auditions. What are we going to be seeing you in, if anything, right now?
Well, it is pilot season right now, Joanne. So I promise I'll let you be one of the first to know. But as of this moment right now, as we speak, nothing in particular, but it's pilot season, so we're, you know, we're going out, we're auditioning. It's that time of year when we audition for a bunch of new shows. Like I said, I am kind of setting my sights, not kind of setting my sights back, but California, you know, California is like, you know, for every one audition we have here in New York, there's probably 100 in L.A., so.
Right, right. It's now, do you still stay in touch with anyone from the GH cast?
Maurice.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's a good guy.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, Maurice is, you know, Maurice is, you know, in all the years I've been in the film industry, I probably have one friend out of the whole film industry that, you know, I would call my friend that we stayed in touch and stuff like that. And that would be Maurice, so.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I saw that he not too long ago just adopted a daughter from a relative. I can't think of the exact story right now, so I don't want to say it wrong, but he did add another addition to his family, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not really going to comment on Maurice's personal life either, but, you know, he's a champion, and, you know, I love him, and I support him in whatever he does.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go here. I have one last caller, area code 571. What's your name and where are you calling from? What is up with all these shy people tonight? I don't understand. Yeah. Brandon, have you ever?
Are they shy? Well, maybe Brandon's got another question until they're not shy.
Yeah, Brandon's definitely not shy. Go ahead, Brandon. Spit it out.
Well, you know what?
I know who that is on 571. That's my girl, Angel, I bet you. Angel,
well,
why don't you want to talk to me?
She hung up. So
she
I don't know what's up with that. Maybe they were just trying to listen. I don't know, but I mean, there's other ways to listen to the show than calling. So, she hung up, so she probably didn't want to get on the phone. But go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you call in, you're fair game.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. Oh, okay, I see. Well, you also got my thing, Brandon, and you know, Joanne. We had talked about this before, and I kind of was actually on it. I don't know what happened to it. Because I like this format here, and I might have to put together my own kind of show here as well called Rails Rants,
you know,
or something.
You really should do that, and I said that to you, and Catherine Hicklin from One Life to Live, she does her own show now. She does it once a week. She does an hour. She just came out with a book, and it seems to be getting very popular amongst actors and musicians to start their own blog talk show. I mean, you know, Catherine does a self-help show, Conscious Living Radio, it's called, on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I think this is like the perfect format for you, other than Twitter.
Nothing's better than Twitter. Nothing
okay.
is better than Twitter.
Okay. Well, in this instance, you can actually physically talk to someone and hear their voice, I should say.
Yeah, I love that, you know.
Okay.
I really
yeah, so go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, you know, it's a heck of a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. Interacting with people and meeting people that you would never actually meet in your own everyday life. You get to interact with people, talk to people, hear different people's stories. It's really great fun. It's hard work, but it's great fun.
Yes.
So
you got another question for me, brother?
Yes, I do. I was, you know, researching your filmography in preparation for this, and I saw that you were on my all-time favorite show. I guess it was a bit part because I don't remember you on the show, but you were on Santa Barbara for a time. And I was wondering if you have any memories of working on that show, because I loved that show.
Oh, my God. Santa Barbara, yes. Now, remind me if, because that's been a while ago, and I believe... Now, was not Eric Close on Santa Barbara, or was that Days
of Our Lives?
Yes,
he was. No, he was on Santa Barbara the final year. Okay. He was Kim Zimmer's son on screen.
Okay. So when I played on Santa Barbara, it's interesting. I was, I remember I was working out at Gold's Gym in North Hollywood. And he checked, tell me that God doesn't have his hands in things, okay? Because it could, you know, Gold's Gym is full of people. Actors, wannabe actors, whatever. And I was walking in to check in to work out in the gym, and as I was running my card through the thing, the girl at the desk was on the phone with the casting director from Santa Barbara.
Wow.
And they had called the gym, and they were looking for somebody to work with an actor to teach him how to look like a boxer. And I was a boxer, and I had worked with boxers, and as I was walking in, the girl at the desk goes, she goes, hold on, and she goes, Rael, you teach people how to box, don't you? And I was like, yeah. Because, oh, there's somebody on the phone here, right? They're looking for somebody. Do you want to talk to them for a second? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I started talking to them, and it ended up being the casting director, and they said, hey, can you come down? We got this actor. We need you to get ready for a boxing part. And so I started training this guy, working him out, and helping him to look like a boxer. His name was Eric Close, who is now on the show. What's the show he does now?
He's on Without a Trace, I think.
Yeah, Without a Trace. That's right, Without a Trace. My wife just yelled from upstairs, so I know she's listening now. But we kind of became friends, and I got him ready, and I worked him out. I got him in shape. And when it came time to shoot, there was a part of the trainer. And he kind of got me the part as the trainer, and that was kind of one of my first little boxing parts on the soap opera.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was a great. It was my favorite show, and I loved it.
Yeah, I was. Dude, you brought back some memories. I totally forgot about that. That's funny.
Yeah, it was so funny when I saw that on your IMDb page, because I didn't remember you on the show, and it was so funny to see that again, because it's just great fun talking about that show. Every time someone's on this show from that show, I always bombard them with Santa Barbara questions, because I just love that show.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Well,
cool.
We have another caller. This is Rita from Chicago.
Oh, thank you so much, Joanne.
You're welcome.
Hi,
Rita.
Rael.
Say hi to Rael.
Hi, Rael.
Hey, Rita. How you doing?
Well, I'm happy to talk to you, and I'm hoping you won't mind if I tell you I was kind of surprised to find out what you shared with us. I was just as surprised to find that out about you as I still am about Maurice Bernard. He's such a perfectionist. I mean, I hope you don't take it offensively that I'm surprised, and I have my own private reasons. If I heard you correctly, did you use your discretion on some of these so-called resolutions for what you shared? You said you came out of the closet.
With my bipolar?
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised to hear that you were such a perfectionist. You were such a, about you were Detective Taggart. I still have memories of how strong you came on as a detective. I never would have guessed that you had trouble with your first line.
Well, you know.
Did you ever see the movie Call Me Anna?
Huh?
Did you ever see the made-for-TV movie Call Me Anna? Patty Duke?
Patty Duke. Was that the Patty Duke story?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I did see that. And, you know, I think I wrote an article, Rita, and I kind of put it in a video as well. And, you know, that by being bipolar or suffering depression is not a disability. And, you know, the thing is that is it tough? Yeah. Is it a battle? Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I kind of say, see, my mom suffers from depression, and she has all her life. And depression is kind of usually a thing that's passed on. So, you know, my mom probably knew that it was something that I was going to suffer with. So maybe part of her being so lifting me up and raising me to be strong and knowing that there was no such word as C-A-N-T and, you know, telling me that there was nothing that I couldn't do and that I'm a champion and that I'm, you know, a warrior and all those things was preparing me for later on in my life because, you know, I'm not a victim. I'm not somebody who's going to say, woe is me. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is, suck it up. And I'm always telling people to suck it up. Well, maybe in my own subliminal, without even knowing, me telling people to suck it up, I'm really telling myself to suck it up. Because I'm very much a person who wants to walk the walk and not just talk the walk. And so, you know, when I'm always telling people to suck it up, like even when I teach my classes and stuff like that, I don't, you know, stand there and tell people what to do. I get in because, you know, I believe that I can get the results that I get out of people because if I tell you we're going to do 1,000 squats, we'll do 1,000 squats together. So, you know, it's like we're going to get in the trenches together and we're going to do it together. So you can't look up at me and say, oh, it's easy for you to say do 1,000 squats. You're standing over there telling me to do it. You can't do that because I'm doing it with you. And, you know, just because you suffer from bipolar or depression or, you know, it's all part of, what are you going to do with it? When I was nervous with that line, you know, that's what I call a pivotal point in somebody's life. You know, and we're faced with those intersections in our life all the time. Are you going to go straight? Are you going to go right? Are you going to go left? Are you going to go backwards? But you know, we all get nervous. We all get scared. We all have fear. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to just run from it? Are you going to accept it? Or are you going to challenge it and go through it? Are you going to go over it? Are you going to go around it? I choose to go through it, and I go through it with a fervor. I'm like a freaking freight train, you know. I just am, man, and I love to be met with challenges and adversity. And you know, does it make it easy? No, not a lot of times. A lot of times, it's really hard, but you would never know it. But I ain't going to show you that. You know,
I never saw that in you. That you do go through it. And I admire your strength, and I admire your discretion. Like I said, I've seen my own private reasons. I had a friend, and the doctors just kept, she gets upset about something, they increased her dosage. She ended up missing one day from her home. And then at 5 o'clock in the morning, they found her in the dumpster. And I think she was just wandering around, and I just keep on thinking they extended the dosage, and they don't even monitor these things. They treat, you know, like non-humans. And that's why I have my own private reasons when I think I heard you right, did you use your own discretion on that? Because I don't compare that, and I'm sorry, Joanne, I don't compare that with chemotherapy, the medication. What you went through, I you're a force to be reckoned with, and I'm thinking the same thing about your name. I don't want to call you Lieutenant Taggart. Rail is your name? I'm not good with names. I am so not good with names. Sorry.
I've been called a million things. Trust me. Don't worry about it.
I'm sure you've been called Lieutenant Taggart in public, too.
Yeah.
I don't care,
you know,
how many years.
Here's the thing, you know. I mean, for me, and once again, I just preface it because I don't want, you know, Joanne or me or whatever, you know, somebody out there who may be listening, you know. But, you know, we're not medical doctors. We're not making medical claims. But me and my own personal life, my experience was this, okay. I agreed to try some medication. The medication that they put me on, dosage, whatever, I don't know what it was, but it was not a good experience for me. And, you know, day two, I was not having a lot of fun at all. I was hearing voices and going through all kind of crazy stuff, and I was trying to call the doctor. What should I do? You know, this is what, and nobody was calling me back. And day three and day four, and it was getting worse. And it was getting worse and worse. And, you know, and I'm like, and everybody's saying, well, dude, you can't just stop. You can't just stop. That'll be worse. If you just stop, you're going to go in this. And it was day five, and I remember on the fifth day, I called this doctor. I said, dude, and I got the machine. I said, listen, I am not, excuse the expression, freaking kidding, okay? If somebody does not call me back and tell me what to do, I may kill myself because I hear voices. My skin is crawling. I said, it is not a good time. Somebody needs to call me back and tell me what I should do. And nobody called me back. So I was like, after that message, nobody to this day called me back. And so I just went cold turkey. I said, the next day came, I said, I don't care, dude. I don't care. I can fight this. I can be strong. I've been here. I've been through addiction. I've been through everything. I can do this. I said, and I'm not taking another pill. I'm not going another day because it's not getting better. And I stopped, and it was brutal. It was not a lot of fun. But I made it. And
tell you I praise God you made that decision?
Yes, go ahead.
I praise God you made that decision because I've yet to see outside of Patty Duke and somebody using discretion and monitoring the blood levels and making sure that she's okay. I'm happy for her, but I've yet to see I had a man literally choking to death, and that was definitely a side effect from the medicine. And he forgot to take his other medicine. The doctors, we rushed him to the hospital. He was literally turning blue in the face. There was no Heimlich we could do. And he wanted to see us. He did not want to see his parents. He did not want to see his uncle. His uncle was our pastor. And I'm saying pastor because we're Jewish people who believe in Jesus as our Savior, so we can't really call him a rabbi. And I spit out his phone number, and he wanted to see us because we cared about him. And I praise God that you made a decision not to use it.
A decision for me because, you know, there are great doctors out there. Okay, you know, my mom has a great doctor now that is wonderful. We've been through many that weren't, but she has. So, and you know, Maurice, okay, Maurice, you know, does awesome on medication, and it's a choice that he makes, and he works with him. So, you know, there are great people, but, you know, it's all about a personal decision, and for me, that was the right one to make for me, and, you know,
Well, I hope and pray that his blood is monitored with his levels and with his weight and his size.
Well, I'm sure it is. Like Rael said, again, it is a personal choice to take it or not to take it. We are certainly not advising anybody either way. So, Rita, just
Joanne,
take that to heart.
Thank you for letting me share that.
You're welcome. Take that to heart, and if you have an issue, consult your doctor, okay?
Well, thank you for letting me talk to you, and you're no longer on. You've been off a long while. I'm still glad you're friends with Maurice because he sounds like he sounds more wonderful and wonderful every time I hear things about him.
Oh, he's awesome, girl. And we appreciate your support, so make sure you get on my Twitter and follow me, okay?
I'm computer illiterate. I don't even know what a Twitter is.
Oh, my God. Help her out,
Tell
Joanne.
Tell Jenna to help you. Tell Jenna to help you, Rita. Okay? Jenna will help you. All right. Thanks, Rita.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Brandon, last question?
Yeah, you know, on this general topic, I don't know if you've been following Suzanne Summers lately, but she's kind of made it her personal crusade in the last couple of years to tell people, you know, really think about what you're doing. Take your health in your own hands. You know, she's really big on this whole bioidentical hormones thing, and she also kind of forsook chemotherapy in terms of a more natural solution to her health problems. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that, if you've been following her at all.
You know what? I actually met Joanne. I met her, Suzanne Summers. And,
really?
Yeah, I did. I was actually, we crossed paths. This is fun. I love you. You're Brandon, you're awesome, dude. You're bringing up things I totally remember. I had decided 1 year to shoot a calendar and to raise money for my charity, and hired this big-time photographer in Hollywood and dieted, and was so sick of eating potatoes because I did this potato diet that I don't think I ever wanted to eat another potato in my life. But that was nothing. And as in that same studio that day, as we were closing up, Suzanne Summers was coming in to shoot a some pictures for her new cooking book at the time. And so I did get to meet her, and she's a wonderful person. Personally, I'm on Suzanne's side, okay, because, you know, that's one of the things I'm so fired up about the Avicare products, because, and, you know, I'm going to say it again because it's just something you have to do. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't make medical claims, and either does Avicare, but I'm here to tell you. I've worked with hundreds and thousands of people over the past 3 years already. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, depression medication, all different kind of things. And with the advice of their doctors, after getting them on a good nutritional, healthy, natural supplementation program, they have, with the advice of their doctors, been pulled off their medication. Their cholesterol has gone down. Their diabetes has gone away. You know, their insulin has been pulled back. All kind of great stuff. Is Avicare some Ouija, some special thing? No. It's just good quality, healthy nutrition, and it's amazing what can happen to the body when you fuel it properly. So I agree with her.
You know, well, whenever I see her on, like, Larry King or Good Morning America or, you know, any of the shows that she goes on, she's always so passionate about what she speaks about. And you know, she says the same thing. She says, you know, she's not a doctor. She just is a smart woman who knows how to read and knows how to think for herself. And her basic thrust is watch what you're doing, watch what you're eating, you know, take it into your own hands. Don't depend on other people for your information about food, about medicine, about anything. Take it into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, and you know, it's like this, Brandon. I mean, I just did one of my nutritional parties tonight or whatever you want to call it, and I always say to people, because it's amazing to me. It's really amazing to me. It's like I can sit down and do, like, one of these nutritional mixers, okay, or parties or whatever you want to call it, and you know, you'll have somebody go, like, you know, and you're talking about, you know, I can set somebody up for anywhere from $1.50 to $5 a day, and that includes their breakfast and vitamins and all that stuff, and to help them to lose weight and feel great and get in shape, right? And you'll get this, like, well, I can't afford that, you know, or I don't have any money. Mm-hmm. But and some people can't, but the very next day, they'll go out and spend $3,000 on a gun, you know, or a new, or you know, getting some new tires for their car.
Yeah, or a new pair of shoes or something.
Yeah, and it's like, it's amazing to me. The most important thing in the world is their body. It's like, you know, that's the you know, God's temple. That's their body. But you know, I say to people, I say, listen, let me ask you something. I said, would you go out to your car right now? Put a couple gallons of gas in there. Let's throw a cup of water. How about some syrup? Let's go get some twigs over here. Throw some twigs. Oh, look at this, a nice couple of scoops of mud. And let's put some dirt in there, too. You know, find some other things. Throw in there some junk, whatever. Let's throw it in there. Put the cap on and jump in the car and turn it on and expect it to drive. You wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you do that to your body every day. It's amazing the stuff that people put in their body and they expect it to perform. Well, here's the thing. The body is an amazing machine, so it will perform. But sooner or later, something is going to give. We're the most powerful nation in the world, the United States of America, something to be very proud of. But something we should be embarrassed about is we are 42nd in health. 42nd. There's third world countries that don't even have running water that are in better health than us. We have the most food choices, the best food choices, and we make the worst food choices. So,
It's true.
So you see, Brandon, you're going to get me fired up, buddy. I get passionate about health.
Well, you know what? That's you're going to have to go on Brandon's buzz, too, because
I'll always be there for that. I'm going to connect with you on Twitter, and I'm gonna drag you to my show.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we've been going a long time, and I'll go forever, but I think people got to get to bed, and,
I got to get to bed because I could get up and train people. Yes,
huh?
We have 4 minutes on the clock, so I just want to tell you before we let you go that everyone is going on Twitter, and they're going to you, adding you, and they are so impressed with your bubble tweet.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so that you're going to get messages about, and I have all these people on here saying that you should have your own show, and so you're going to be getting so many messages now, it's going to be insane. And everyone is saying thank you, and you're just a very inspirational guy, and we're going to look forward to hearing you again on Brandon's Buzz and following you on Twitter and everything else that you may do in your career also.
All right. Well, I really do appreciate it. I appreciate you, Joanne, for giving me this opportunity. And, oh, my gosh, I am about to kick my wife's butt because I think I just stood up and over on the dryer I see the remote for my video camera, which leads me to believe that she washed it. And if she washed it and it doesn't work, I am not going to be a happy camper when I go to make my videos for the internet.
Oh, no. Well, listen, everybody's requesting information on how to get that bubble thing, especially Barb. Barb is Bob Guinea's webmaster. That's what I was telling you about. She also works with Greg Grunberg from Heroes.
Right.
And he's a big Twitter guy on there, too. She said he's a Twitter freak. So she's definitely going to message you to figure out how to get that bubble for them.
Well, I will take care of them.
All right, sweetheart. Well, I'll be chatting with you, and Brandon's going to get in touch with you about his show. And God bless, and have a great night.
You too, honey. Take care. All right.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, and by the way,
yes.
You are a champion.
Thank you, sweetie. Have a good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well, everyone, that was Rael Andrews. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. He is such a Twitter freak. He's going to get everybody in there. So when you add him on Twitter, make sure you put Stardish Radio or my name. And he said he's going to start a group, so we'll definitely start a group for Twitter. I don't know how, but we will. With 2 minutes on the clock, I want to let Brandon go ahead and plug his show for tomorrow night and what's coming up.
Okay, we got Brandon's Buzz. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. Tomorrow night I've got legendary singer and actress Gloria Loring. She was on Days of Our Lives. She had a number one hit called Friends and Lovers back in the 80s. She's terrific. She'll be on tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific. Thursday night I've got legendary soul singer Peggy Scott Adams. She was a huge star in the 60s. She made a huge comeback in the 90s. She's a gospel singer now, and she's going to talk all about her amazing career. That's Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. Next Tuesday, the 24th, I've got Emmy-winning Young and the Restless star Beth Maitland. She's Tracy Abbott on Young and the Restless, and she's going to come on and talk about the show, talk about the acting classes that she teaches. That's going to be great fun. That's Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. On Brandon's Buzz, blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. Come on by and check us out and have fun.
Absolutely. I'll be sending out an email and on Facebook also about my next guest, which should be Greg Grunberg. I'll let you know all about that when I get it settled and whatnot. And if not, I'll definitely be back next Monday with my report from the Variety Kids Telethon here in Buffalo, and Brandon Barash will be there. So hopefully I'll have some good exclusives to bring back with me. So, once again, go to my archives, and if you guys missed the interview with Tanya Walker from One Life to Live, definitely download it. She was very, very candid, and it was a cool interview. And also, if you missed the Soapy Valentine special, Oh, my God. Go download it. Download it. I want that to be my most downloaded show. Get busy. Go download Last Friday. The Freaks came out at night, and it was just a wild time, and you will just, like, pee your pants laughing. So make sure you go check that out. And we'll see everybody at Brandon's Buzz tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Night, all.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.